More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Wisconsin writer Mary Jo Balestrieri's new book is as much about contradictions as it is about allusions to nature and the cycles of life. The poems in Gathering the Harvest are as much about life as they are about loss, a feast for the senses from someone who has lost one of her own, and about love at the height of despair. As accomplished as the poems in this new collection are, it wasn't until the death of her grandson from mitochondrial disease that Balestrieri turned in her grief to writing poetry. Following the loss of another grandson and her own cancer diagnosis and loss of her hearing, Balestrieri was brought back from the brink by some patient friends and the power of words. Balestrieri tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce how she first turned to poetry.
Well, I had started playing the piano when I was three. So I performed then, and I did perform all my life. But when my youngest grandson died, and he was about seven, this was 2005, I found that the music did not help me transcend this terrible grief I was feeling. And not only that, it's an interpretive art. So it's out there, which is wonderful. I loved it, but I wanted to give witness to his life. This little boy that had a bigger than you can imagine life. And so my daughter, who is a writer, kept saying, "Mom, you should write." And Mom kept saying, "No, I am not going to write." And then another friend kept doing the same thing. And they took me to a workshop by Ellen Court. And that woman was so gentle and so kind, and she found one line in my prose that she could praise. And she could say, "Look at this. This has possibility." And you know what? She made me feel like a million. And then after class, we went up there, and she knew the story of my Sam, and she told me the story of her son. She said, "It'll take a while, but I really think you can do this." And I left there thinking, maybe I can. Little did I know that day that I didn't want to be there would change everything.
What do you think it is about poetry that has helped you to work through these feelings of grief when it comes to your grandson? In Gathering the Harvest, you know, you reflect on your parents, their illnesses, their declines, your own illness. What is it about poetry that lets you work through those feelings that maybe music didn't give to you?
Well, music, as I said, is out there. There's not really a container like there is with poetry. So there's somewhere that you can have a little bit of structure, even with free verse, for your poetry. And the other thing is, I do think for me, it's creating something versus interpreting something. And that was huge. And then, of course, having the music background was very helpful because I could hear music. And when I lost my hearing, I had been writing poetry, well, 2005. I lost it completely in 2009 in ICU. So I can't hear the piano and I can't hear symphonies, but I have it in my head. So the words are music. It's just another variation, you know?
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the poems in Gathering the Harvest. The whole book and the eponymous poem evoke a seasonal allusion, if you will. Tell us about the seasons that you're exploring thematically.
You know, the whole thing is basically what you would do with a harvest. You're planting and you're sowing and you're working the ground and you've got silence, lots of silence, right? And you don't know what's happening, but there is so much, even when you think things are lost. I was thinking about that today, just watching the leaves, and there was one big leaf left on that on our tree, just falling by itself so gracefully, so beautifully. And I thought, that's really the way we need to be, just to let go and something else will happen. You know, there's always something happening. So I feel like life is a harvest if you just look at it. No matter what, it's all part of the harvest.
You have a few different poems in the second and third sections of the book about your grandsons.
Yes.
But these poems mark a little bit of a shift in your writing style. They're a little bit more spare.
Yes, they are.
Why is that? Why the shift in your writing style?
I don't know. I had written a lot of poems about Zach and Sam. And these two, the one I wrote about Zachary was actually right after he died, right maybe the day he was buried, I believe. And it was cold, and we were sitting at the kitchen table, just my granddaughter and I was looking out the window, and those lines just came to me. So I wrote them the way they came. Very few revisions on that poem, which is unusual. I usually revised all the time. For Zachary, 1992 to 2007. December days fall white, nights skitter and slide. Grown children come home, hang up lives like winter coats. Wind muffles your voice, scattered on drifting plains. Words lose color, poinsettias huddle in corners. Questions blot out the sky. Answers skid, slippery as black ice. A mother, a second son. Emptiness thickens around her. Two geese fly low. Just two. They honk. Something shifts. And then the Sam poem, I can't remember exactly why I did it the way I did. It just that it felt right. And maybe it's, I had to have it that way because life is so fragile. And this little boy was so full of life. I mean, every day was, Grandma, you came to play with me. Like he'd never seen me, you know, and it was joyful. And so I had to, I think, put it in block form almost. Because all this time when we were having all of our fun on the floor and crashing cars into each other and bringing dogs over to help people, and, you know, he was always into that. And then I think all this time, all this crashing is going on in his body. So it was a way of dealing with it. Maybe that's it.
I wonder if maybe it's a little bit, too, of leaving certain things unsaid.
Oh, it's a lot of that, yeah.
When in the chronology did you know that you had become ill, that you had, it was throat cancer, correct?
I had throat cancer in 2008, and on the 28th day of my treatment out of 35, and I don't remember this, so I'm telling you what my husband, what the Caring Bridge site and the nurses and doctors said, I had a cellular breakdown. I have the same disease the boys have, mitochondrial disease, which means that your cells don't effectively turn food into energy. Now, I didn't have much of it. The boys had a lot of cells affected. But the radiation put me over the edge. And my husband brought me to the ICU, or emergency, went to ICU, was in there for 9 weeks. And lost my hearing, I couldn't write. I couldn't think. We were just talking about it on the way down here. I couldn't get a sentence together. Couldn't remember how to type on the computer. None of it. Had to learn how to walk. And I didn't get it either. I didn't know I was that sick, and that's what we were saying. In some ways, that's a blessing. But it was hard recovering because I thought I've lost my music, now I've lost my words. And I had a very good friend that would come over every week, and she would say, we're not going to write poetry, but we'll read. And she would read to me, and then I would read back, and she would give me a little assignment, and I would have it all wrong. But she stuck with me. And this Pat Schneider that I have a poem to in my book is a well-known poet. And I saw her on Garrison Keillor, heard her. And saw her poem after I thought, I can't do another thing. I'm done. But her poem touched me, so I wrote to her, as I had, and told her, you know, I probably wouldn't write anymore. And she wrote back immediately, and she said, I'm writing a book, and it's about writing as a spiritual path. She said, would you be interested in reading it? And I said, yes. And it was about God and writing and different things that took me a while to comprehend. I didn't write her back right away, but when I did, it was a very long letter. And 3 months after that, that poem that is dedicated to her was my poem. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can write again. I mean, it was so exciting. And I credit her. I credit Pat and I credit my friends. They just never gave up. And my husband, who never gave up. You know, and it's all of that. And you realize how many people are just out there for you, you know, and want you to do well. And so there's so much. Talk about gathering a harvest. I mean, there's so much. It's just spilling over.
With this second chance that you've gotten, not just health-wise, but also having gone through the grief of losing your loved ones, of having recovered from this illness, finding your words again, what do you do with that? I mean, talk about pressure.
I just want to give back, give back, give back. And if I can write poems that might help somebody else, if I can do readings, we have a little reading group. It's called Grace River Poets. It's just three of us. And it's an outreach, but we go to various churches or women's groups or whoever wants us. We're free, so a lot of people like us. And we talk about how God has worked through our life, you know, giving us words. And sometimes the joy on those faces by reading one poem, it's worth everything. Everything. There's no amount of money that would ever make up for that. So I think it's all about giving back. I've had so much. It's all I want to do.
Well, Mary Jo Balestrieri, thank you so much for coming in and sharing a little bit of Gathering the Harvest with us.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed this.
Wisconsin poet Mary Jo Balestrieri's new book is called Gathering the Harvest. It's published by Bellowing Arc Press. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce. You can hear her read another poem at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break, then a very funny adventure book by a very funny writing pair. Keep listening. This is Lake Effect on WUWM.